Okay, let's start talking baseball since we got our clap down perfectly to kick off the show. And for those of you that don't understand what the clap is all about, unless you're in the military, you probably do. But this reference is to kick
John. That's an STD joke.
But to kick off the show, to make sure that our sound is in sync, since we're recording on two different channels, Jed on his end, mine on my end, we bring those two together in the final podcast, we need to make sure that we have a clap at the beginning to make sure everything is perfectly in sync, and I've spent way too much time talking about
this. And other exciting news coming up on the next Foul Territory.
Let's jump right into the baseball stuff.
Hey, you know what? Before we get into that, because we got to do the name of the show, Foul Territory.
You cut me off just...
I'm going to cut you off because you keep doing it wrong. You're John Sumple. I'm Jed Rigney. But I want to say something. Did you listen to the last episode? Do you ever listen to it?
Sure.
That was a good episode.
It was a very good episode. I was laughing. I've listened to it.
No, that was a freaking good show.
It was good.
And it's our highest listened show.
I actually have some people out here that are now listening in Seattle, so that's
fantastic.
We're starting to see the effort pay off.
Yes, but that was an entertaining show. It's me saying it, and whatever. Obviously, there's a certain degree of conceit needed required for that. But man, it was a good show. It was entertaining throughout.
It was entertaining. It had some great baseball insight. I love the new "Are You Buying It?" That is really working out. Because we go in a little bit of a deeper dive and the discussions are great, but it was funny.
Yeah.
I was listening to it in the coffee shop. I was editing it at the coffee shop the next day and I was laughing out loud with my headphones on and people are looking at me like, what is he listening to? And I'm like, you should be
looking at you like you're crazy.
They're like, yeah.
Aren't you used to that by now though, John? Come on.
But I'm like, you should be listening to this too. It's funny. Come on. Get on board.
Like, sir, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Get on the Foul Territory train. So this is Foul Territory. You said that you're Jed Rigney. I'm John Sumple. We're both on Twitter at Jed Rigney and at John Sumple.
Yeah.
And
hey, do you know if anyone did any reviews for us? I haven't really checked.
I actually had somebody, a friend of mine, who is aware that I've been doing this, and he sent me a text. And if you're listening again, I appreciate you listening to the third week in a row. But he did tell me he walks in the morning on his way to work. So he listened.
Oh, and okay. He said, but did he write a review?
He did. I don't know if he did, but
I
will ask people.
I don't know if we have enough listeners. See, here's the thing. This is how we build listeners. I know the people listening are like, they're like, oh, but I was their first fans. You guys will always be our first fans. All right. You'll always be like the hipster who like, no, we were listening to them back when no one liked them. You can always be those people. But frankly, we'd rather have more people listen to all this mumbo jumbo than less.
Right.
So write a review, go into iTunes. We don't really care anywhere else, right?
Yeah, iTunes. Start there.
Go on, go anywhere. Go onto to Twitter. Go into MySpace.
Take it to the streets. We're looking for a street team.
Put up flyers. Right. All right, let's talk about baseball.
Let's talk about baseball. So that was our bit, I would say then.
Sure, was our bit.
We're promoting the ability for us to get a wider listening audience, and that would be great. I mean, we're doing this. You know, that's one thing that we haven't talked about before. We do this because we love to talk about baseball.
Yes.
So it was like, well, since we like to talk about baseball, let's just do our thing and talk about it, and let other people listen if they want to.
I mean, up until now, the real winners from this podcast have been our wives. Because we're less inclined to make them listen to us talk about baseball.
Correct.
Because we talk to each other about baseball.
And they get an hour and a half every week where they know that they're not going to be bothered by us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
But it vents the steam, right? Like,
it does.
I'm like, oh, I really want to talk about this baseball thing. I'm like, oh, hey, honey. You want to talk about Madison Bumgarner got hurt? She doesn't want to talk about Madison Bumgarner, John.
Well, for example, I'll give you a very classic moment. Last night, after we had watched a movie, I turned on a baseball channel, the MLB Network, and they were doing like top 10 plays, and they showed the Coughlin dive into home plate.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, that was so amazing. Honey, you have to see this. And I rewound it like three times to show her to her, and she's like, wow, that was cool. And I'm like, but I've never, ever seen anything like that before. I've seen it in football. I've never seen it in baseball. That was amazing. She's like, okay. I'm like, get excited with me, please. It's cool. Okay.
People just don't understand,
they don't
John.
Get it. They don't, and like the no hitter, I told you about that, that we went to.
Well, yeah, what does she care? She only sees no hitters.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, another no hitter, big deal. Yeah, but I appreciate, she will go to a baseball game with me every single time I go. She loves going to the events and enjoys being in the stadium, loves the energy of the stadium, gets into it in the moment. But when the moment's over, you know, there's no retention of the basic information for the next game. And it makes me appreciate my love of the game that much more when I talk with people who don't appreciate it at the same level. And that's nothing negative to them. It just is that there's a lot of intricacy.
John,
yes, sir.
Let's just talk about baseball.
Yeah, we're talking too much about stuff that's...
I get it all the way.
Yeah,
I'm picking up what you're putting down, but let's talk about
baseball. Let's talk about, otherwise this is going to turn into the Dr. Phil show.
And I don't want a paternity test, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that could cause some problems. Okay, so headlines this week. There's plenty of them. And we talked a little bit about the Coughlin thing, which isn't a headline, but to us geeks it is a little bit. But I guess the biggest headline really was the Madison Bumgarner thing with the dirt bike and the DL and how long is he going to be on the DL.
Top five pitcher in Major League Baseball, maybe the best current playoff pitcher. Best performance anyway. Yeah.
Day off in Colorado playoffs. And decides to have a little bit too much fun.
Went a little dirt biking and apparently got extremely busted up.
And they downplayed it quite a bit, but it's ribs and shoulder, and shoulder's never a good sign. Ribs will heal. They take a hell of a long time to heal. But the shoulder thing, I think, is probably the bigger concern.
Yeah, I mean, I think in their... Technically, and also part of the story is, of course, it's Madison Bumgarner, who's so important to that team that is struggling. Also, this is sort of prohibited by the players' contracts. All players have the sort of standard union contract where it says that you're not going to engage in racing or in dangerous activities. Now, whether or not he was racing doesn't really matter. Dirt biking is a dangerous activity. If basketball is considered a dangerous activity... then dirt biking is definitely a dangerous activity.
And to some players, brushing their teeth, falling downstairs.
Yes, taking a shower if you're Raisel Iglesias.
Right.
But those are excluded. You are allowed to shower in baseball.
Yes.
But what's interesting about this is that his contract, I mean, technically, right, the Giants could say, well, we're not paying you while you're recovering, but it's Madison Bumgarner. So he's underpaid somewhat anyway. But also he's got them three World Series, so of course they're just going to pay him whatever and just be like, well, no big deal. And you know what? That's the way it should be. When people do good things, John, they should be rewarded down the line. I'm not saying he should be allowed to murder, but you know what? So what if he ruins part of their season or even the whole season?
And he was 0-3 to kick off the year, not because it was anything on his part. He was still pitching well, but maybe that was an indicator that, you know, this year – and they haven't started off very well. Their bullpen, which was awful on opening day, has been the only thing to get excited about for the Giants. That's actually been the biggest.
That may be the saddest sentence in the history of baseball. Their bullpen is the only thing to get excited about. Ay, caramba. They've been having trouble on offense. They've been having trouble on defense. They've been having trouble staying healthy.
Yeah, the errors are kind of baffling, too. Quite a few errors for them.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, because some of the reports were saying he's only going to miss a couple of starts, and then there were some
He's out for 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months minimum, 2 months. And then some people were saying that the players off the record were saying we might not see him back until the end of the season.
Right. So yeah, some are saying it might be season ending, and some are saying, well, maybe it's going to be so far in the season that why bother bringing him back and risk some other weird thing?
Well, the mentality is for most sports teams is that, well, the next man up, that's what we're all about here in San Francisco. I have never encountered.
Yeah, but the next man up is not Madison Bumgarner.
Right.
So it's that's not... 5 wins on the season that they just lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe 4.5 if you're counting, you know, prorated, proactive. Hey, let me tell you a few things about Proactive. Do you have skin problems?
New sponsor.
Well, you might want to go dirt biking with Madison Bumgarner. Anyway, I don't know. I'm very confused right now, John. I don't know if I've had enough coffee today. Maybe I've had too much. Maybe I'm hungry. Maybe I'm tired. I might be recovering from an illness. I may not have actually been ill. I don't know what's happening with me right now.
And you
so
might not
forgive me if
are
my...
Are you even on the air right now? Do you know that for a fact?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep going then. And there's a theme that's really starting to materialize here in the beginning, and it's the DL theme.
Yeah.
So we've got another player on the DL. I don't know when did this happen, just yesterday?
A couple days ago, and the only reason why I brought it up, this is Tulowitzki, the shortstop for the Blue Jays, is, man, this Blue Jays team, it just seems cursed. And everything is falling apart for them, and no one is hitting. And everyone thought these guys were going to be able to at least, you know, a softball league, score their way through some games. No scoring. The pitching's been okay, but then a couple of pitchers have gone down with injuries, and so now you have their main shortstop out, who was actually kind of hitting okay. It's a mess. It is a mess in Toronto, and not just the baseball team. Wait a minute. No, just, well, now that Rob Ford's gone, I guess it's better. Yeah. But
the baseball team is a mess. Is that a civic criticism?
You know what? It's not political, because here's the thing. I was entertained by the whole Rob Ford thing. I thought it was spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, God rest his soul. He was entertaining, for
rest
sure.
Rest in peace. He was an entertaining dude. Though I don't know if that's the main job of a mayor.
No.
It might be a Canadian mayor's main job, though. I don't know. I don't understand the whole system, the whole English royalty and parliament.
But we all wanted to see Chris Farley in politics, and we got the chance to live it.
Yes, even if just briefly.
So you have Tulo down, you've got... Yeah.
And just now, John, King Felix on the deal.
Yes, yeah. Oh, I know that he was dead arm last night. What was the prognosis?
They put him on 10-day DL. It's probably one of those things where if there was a 15-day DL, they wouldn't have put him on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the 10 days are just going to make him skip a start, basically.
Rest his arm. That's not a good
rest
sign.
Rest his arm.
It's not a good sign. For Seattle. And their best player just got hurt. Mitch Haniger, so he's looking like he's on the 10-day at least. It might be longer because it's an oblique, right?
The obliques, man, those are brutal.
Yeah, and he was...
Here, if you don't know much about baseball, listener, your obliques are very essential to torquing your body around to swing a bat. And so, and I guess to pitch as well, right? Pitchers mm-hmm. have the problem mm-hmm. with the obliques. So it becomes very, very difficult. You lose so much of your strength, and it's excruciatingly painful. So the question is, when they come back, it's like a shoulder injury. Is it going to sap some of the power
mm-hmm.
because of the adjustment, because of the pain?
And if they come back too soon, they can re-injure it.
It's such a delicate thing because you don't know if it's too soon until you start swinging. So.
Right. And Haniger has been, I would say, probably the rookie of the year, number one candidate based on his performance out of the gate. He's been phenomenal. And that's a huge blow. To Seattle to lose him more than Felix, to be honest with you.
Short term and long term.
Well, you know, this, I mean,
PR value wise, Felix is definitely more, but
yes,
more valuable.
Well, more valuable and a bigger financial stake. Obviously, they're going to want to, you know, do whatever they can to get him back. But, you know, he's on the downside of his career. He had, 8-9 years in a row of 32 starts, something like that. So he's been durable. Last year, not so much. He only had 25 starts. This year, obviously, he's not going to hit the 30 mark again. If this, I shouldn't say obviously, but he might not, based on what this injury could turn into. You know, shoulder tightness. I don't know what that means. It's going to be long term, but we'll see. Another injury. I don't know if.
Well, I don't really care so much about the injury on this one. This is the Pedroia thing.
Right.
Well, it's like, here's the slot. Okay, so here's what happened. So Manny Machado slid into second base with what I like to call a poopy slide. This was not a good slide. It was more like a slide that was of poop, hence poopy slide. And he spiked Dustin Pedroia in the calf. So now Dustin Pedroia is injured. Fast forward 2 days, and all of a sudden the Red Sox decide they want to get their revenge. Look, I'm a Red Sox fan, but I don't understand that. Like, waiting till the last game, the last at-bat of the last... I guess that kind of makes a little bit of sense, right? In a cowardly sort of way. Wait for Machado's last at bat in the last game of the series.
Well, they tried to hit him with a
tried to hit him in the head.
Well, they tried to hit him with a different pitch. I don't know if it was this earlier in the same game, but he couldn't hit him. He had like
that was Eduardo Rodriguez, and it was right. It wasn't clear whether he was actually trying to hit him or he walked five people that day, or whether he was just missing all over the plate. So,
but he kept it, that.
But they were inside. Though,
they kept going further and further in. Yeah. Machado just kept scooting further and further back, and he never got close enough to hit him.
So really, it's Machado's own fault.
But
really.
I love the back and forth dialogue between Pedroia and the dugout, and he's like, "It's not me." And Machado's on deck. He's like, "Not me. It's not my thing. If it was up to me, you would have been hit in the very next at bat."
Right.
You know, after that, so he's like, "I had nothing to do with this," and then. You have the controversy with Britton saying that, oh, you know, I thought you're the captain. You should have control of your team. Right. So there may be a new rivalry developing as a result of this. And it definitely will play out because Machado is going to get hit, you know, at some point. Whether it could be next season, but he's going to get a ball in the thigh.
Yeah. Look, I'm just saying in the way the game is played now, you just don't go into second base that way.
But I looked at that 20 times and I didn't see it as
First of all, John, 20 times, you have a freaking problem, man.
Well, it was because it was broadcast over and over every channel.
That's a bad slide, John.
It was a late slide, but it wasn't his foot bounced up off the bag. That wasn't intentional.
No, but his intent was to overslide the bag.
Yeah, it just wasn't. I didn't think it was too aggressive. I thought it was aggressive.
I'm not saying
not
it was like
aggressive.
Chase Utley.
And even Pedroia admitted he wasn't. He was obvious based on the replay that he wasn't trying to hit him.
Do you think Dustin Pedroia was obvious? Like, I mean, the guy's just trying to, like, hey, trying to calm this down. He's a good dude. I'm just saying that's a bad slide by Machado. And you're telling me that Machado's not a little tired of losing to the Red Sox, watching the Red Sox, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, like, he's a bit of a. You know, he's a feisty player. I don't want to say anything other than that.
I think it was an aggressive slide. I don't think it was a poopy slide.
Oh, it was a poopy slide, John.
Well, we can debate that.
We're debating it right now. Here's the thing. Look, the Chase Utley slide was ugly and within the rules. They changed the rules. This slide, he was trying to overslide the bag. He was trying to come in hard on a player. I said hard on. Anyway, sorry. I ruined my whole debate. Here's the thing. I'm totally distracted by my own words now. Anyway, I'm not saying it's against the rules. I'm just saying, like, come on, guys, we're not doing that anymore.
And I would say it's a hard slide. It wasn't an overly aggressive. I didn't think there was any intent to try to take him out. I think that that type of slide happens every day.
Okay, so let me just ask you. Just be very clear. So, if you're saying it was a hard slide, which I completely agree with, what is the intent of a hard slide?
To disrupt the player, but not to hit him. He had no intention to hit him.
No, I think he had the intent to hit him. I don't think he had the intent to spike him, though. I will concede that. I don't think he had the intent to spike him.
But if the way his foot hit the bag, it bounced up because it hit the bag.
But why did it hit the bag? Because he was sliding so aggressively, overly aggressively, that it then caused the foot to pop up and hit the calf. Thank you for proving my point, John. Boom.
If it was the other way around, would you be having the same argument?
Absolutely.
I don't think you would.
Absolutely. I had the same argument with Chase Utley. It was it's within the rules, and it was totally inappropriate. And I'm a half Dodgers fan when he did that. I thought the only chicken bleep thing that came out of that whole thing was Don Mattingly benching Chase Utley in the next game.
Did you just say chicken bleep?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say, you know.
We're poopy and chicken bleep.
Yeah, I don't like saying bad words, John. You've seen my writing. I don't use bad words.
You don't go blue?
I just don't. You know what? I find that it's actually funnier to not use those words.
Okay. So hard on and poopy and chicken bleep.
That's the extent of my blueness.
Right. More of a Beavis and Butthead vibe.
Am I? Maybe that's what it is.
Let's keep going. So our favorite player, Eric Thames.
Right. I'm saying Thames.
Good. I'm in agreement.
I heard Thames. And I'm going to just, I blame all those people. Sorry, Eric.
So, Eric, it's official now on Foul Territory. Your last name is pronounced Thames.
Yes, for now.
So the best player on the planet on this very moment when it comes to power is being tested again for PEDs. because yeah, they so doubt, you know,
this. He was quote unquote randomly tested, right? Because they can't say, oh, we're testing. It's supposed to be random, right? That's the agreement. But he's already been tested twice, three weeks into the season.
That doesn't seem right. And I think probably it was the Cincinnati Reds pitchers that are pushing for this, because I think he's...
Also, some of the Cubs, right? Weren't some of the Cubs bitching about it like a bunch of little girls just because they're 10-8?
Well, he's 8 of his 11 home runs are against the Reds.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Part of why he has so many home runs is because he's been facing the Reds, who are terrible. But the other part is he's being very patient. He's not swinging at balls outside the zone, and he's launching them into outer space. That's how you hit home runs.
Right, and he's the talk of the first month of the season for sure. As far as where did this guy come from, even though we did know where he came from, Seattle is scratching their head right now because he was with the Mariners a couple years back, and they didn't see that at all. But they said that he was a very interesting person, great character. There's been, you know, and I think was it Seager was saying that he hits the ball violently.
Yes.
So and he has that show beard. I just love that beard. It's spectacular. Such a good beard.
It's magnifico.
It's magnifico.
That's a callback to last episode.
Listen, hey, listener, if you didn't catch it last week, go back and listen to the magnifico.
Yes.
It'll be worth it.
If only for that.
If only for that.
Yes. Please ignore my slow jam rapping, by the way.
I thought that could have been a highlight because it was so spontaneous and so you had the rhythm down. You had the iambic pentameter, if that even makes sense. But it was just classic. It was really good. And you almost did another one, you know, so maybe we should have that as a segment.
Oh, I don't know about that, John.
Jed slow jams the headlines.
I feel like there's sort of like a racial thing that starts to come into play.
Yeah, there. A little bit.
I think especially, if I do it once, it's kind of a lark. But I think if it becomes a thing, then...
And you didn't do it milky white. There was a little bit of... I'm not even going to say what I was going to say, but I was going to say...
Urban.
A little urban-esque to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how rap is.
It is. It
doesn't matter if it's white or black or brown or whatever.
And you could never be a rap star because you don't go blue.
That's exactly right.
Okay, moving on. The Marlins, finally, we're hearing some positive news about Jeffrey Loria getting out of baseball, which would be a good thing. Last week it was the Derek Jeter, Jeb Bush teams combining.
Yeah.
And this week, as of yesterday, although it's still up in the air based on who you talk to and what report you read, that a bid for the top position was won by the Jeb Bush, Derek Jeter camp.
Right. There was sort of a last minute interjection by the Tom Glavine and Tag Romney.
Right.
Contingent. And I thought Tag, like, perfect baseball name, but sorry, Derek Jeter.
Yeah. I'm assuming that if they're, and this would never be a public thing, is that the commissioner is strongly endorsing, nothing against Tom Glavine, but strongly endorsing that Jeter be a part of the ownership scenario.
It's because, such a great move for baseball. We talked about this last week. It's such perfect. Is he from Florida? He probably lives down there because of taxes. But.
Yeah, I think he's from Ohio, born and raised in Ohio. But he
really?
Lives, yeah, I think so. And I think he lives now in outside of Tampa or in Tampa area. He has a mansion down in Tampa.
Sure.
He probably owns a big part of the
and a couple
community.
Of sex dens in New York. Where he sends his fruit baskets.
Yes. He probably owns a tchotchke company to supply his baskets of
For those of you who don't know, when Derek Jeter was more of a ladies' man, he used to send his ladies a basket of a gift basket after an evening.
Right. It was like, thank you very much. It was
Thanks
it was,
for the coitus.
It was very nice. A coitus bag. Don't you do that for your wife?
No.
Like a little gift bag? Thank you very much.
John, I wouldn't be able to afford that many gift baskets. Hey-o.
Very nicely played. Very nicely played. So looking forward to how that all plays out. $1.3 billion. Loria makes out like a bandit. Bought the team for like $150 million back in 2002. He'll be laughing all the way to the bank and to France, apparently, as the ambassador to France.
As the ambassador to France. That'll be great.
Yeah. And we'll
too bad he can't do the New Zealand one.
Yeah, that would be
the further fun. the further away the better is all I'm
yeah,
saying.
Just having him out of baseball, I think, will be ultimately a good thing for baseball and Marlins fans. Marlins fans are ecstatic over the possibility when it was first heard that he was last fall interested in selling the team. So kudos to all fans, Marlins, including myself.
I feel like he's going to fit right in with all that Euro trash in France too.
Oh, he'll hobnobbing with
with the unshowered elites. Eating cheese and drinking wine.
And yes, and laughing at the people, you know, begging in the streets.
Yeah. Yes, having their cake and eating it.
Right, correct. Okay, let's keep it going with the headlines. Next up, we've got Chris Bryant. Tops the MLB's most popular player jersey. That's a little bit of a surprise, huh?
It was a surprise, but I think it speaks more to the fact that there isn't really, like, in baseball, there isn't really, like, I mean, I guess it's not a surprise because the Cubs, right? The Cubs won the World Series, and he's probably the best player on the Cubs. I mean, I guess it fits in that way, but it just, I guess as a non-Cubs fan, it's kind of like, yeah, he's a good player. Who cares?
And the best MLB ad right now is the Brizzo ad. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's pretty funny. It's Bryant and Rizzo coming together to create a company called Brizzo.
Interesting.
And they have Eddie Vedder come in and do a slogan song for them. And it's pretty, pretty good.
Oh, cool.
Check it out. It was worth me slogging through that if you just go and listen to it.
I mean, there's nothing better than describing videos.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's not
like it's a real ratings boon for us to sit here and
spend 15-20 minutes talking about Eddie Vedder and how he plays the guitar and wears a Cubs jersey.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Pretty great. Let's just keep talking about it too. Like, why not?
Yeah, let's keep going. So the next part of the video, let's keep going on. I don't know anything about this story. I'm going to throw this one at you. Cuban Luis Robert, 19-year-old, was declared a free agent by Major League Baseball.
Right. So pretty good. I think he's an outfielder, pretty good prospect. But what's really interesting to me about this is because he was declared a free agent before the new collective bargaining agreement kicks in, when is it, June or July? July 1st, right? So he still counts under the old system where teams can pay him whatever they want to pay him without a salary cap for international free agents or international signings. So if this had happened 2 months later, he would be very restricted. Potentially we could see him getting quite a bit more money than he would normally get, or that someone with his skill and age or whatever would get in 3 months from now. So I'm not sure which teams are in on him, but I think I saw the Cardinals were in on him. I think especially because, you know, they lost draft picks due to the hacking, the Houston Astros hacking. People are saying they're keen on sort of replacing the draft pick with sort of an end around, which is, I just love being able to see people being able to get around the law and getting around punishment for breaking the law. It's
the American way.
Yeah, it's the American way.
Boy, on the same wavelength there. Everybody else is probably saying it too. The listener probably said it at the same time.
Welcome to America, Cuban Luis Robert. This is how we do it.
Okay, so our final headline for the week, the commissioner came out within the last few days and said that, Las Vegas is on the table as a relocation destination for a Major League Baseball team, which I guess it's fashionable now that the NHL will be there next year. The Raiders are going to be going there.
Do you think that's real?
Which part?
Do you think that's real, or do you think that's one of those things like what they did with Portland, where they just keep telling other teams, we could always move a team to Portland. Well, so then they can.
There's only two teams that are potential candidates for this, and that's Tampa. But Tampa's working towards a resolution. But Oakland is the other one, and Oakland is not working towards a resolution.
No. Didn't you see that they have they've announced they're going to have start a new thing, a new stadium? I just saw this.
Oh, really?
This should probably be in our news thing. And I saw this last week. Yeah, they say they're gonna have a stadium in place at the end of this season.
Wow. Well, they've said that before. They've been saying
that
for 15
years.
Yes, I guess
they have said that before.
Let's see.
Maybe that's why it hasn't really been in the news cycle, because it's kind of like, Oakland, you're moving to Vegas.
Chicken Little. Yeah. Yeah, it says, so A's tweet about future stadium announcement. So that was just a couple last week, April 21st. Yeah, Athletics announced plans for a new stadium in Oakland. Yeah. And maybe that's, you know, it was probably got to the point where the city's like, we can't lose the Warriors, the Raiders, and the A's. We will have lost everything that we have from a sports perspective. That
and also, classic Oakland.
Yeah.
To lose the Warriors, then the Raiders, and then be like, no, let's hang on to the Athletics. Okay.
But it would be interesting if both the A's and the Raiders wound up in Vegas. That would just be quite interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if they can. I mean, obviously for the NFL, it's just 8 home games. I don't have any problem with that. But and I guess the hockey's going to be 81 home games. But could they really handle
40 home games?
40 home games. Well, could they really handle 81 home games?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's enough people there for that. Like, even with the tourists, I don't know if there's enough people. Plus, the midsummer games, can you imagine? I went there once in the midsummer. It was like June. We were there for a film festival. It was 104 degrees. And, of course, totally dry heat, so not as bad as a humid thing. We left. We skipped the film festival.
Enough of that, right?
We were just like, this is just too hot. The film festival was indoors, John.
Yeah, it's that whole thing of that once you step outside, you're like, I don't want to be outside. I don't want to be in a casino. Let's go home.
I think it's just posturing, but whatever.
Okay. Well, that wraps up headlines for this week. Let's move on to starting nine. So in honor of tonight's, is it tonight or tomorrow night? The draft.
I think it starts Thursday night.
Thursday night. Okay. So yeah.
They do, I think the first round Thursday night, second round.
Okay. So NFL draft. In honor of the NFL draft,
yes.
We've covered hockey,
yeah.
Then basketball,
yeah.
And are we gonna really dig deep on creativity with the football?
Some of these I thought were pretty good, John.
Okay,
yeah.
But usually when you say that they're not so good, they wind up being pretty funny. So, should I be poised for a letdown, or is this?
I don't know, John. I don't know the answer to that question. But you know what? In about 4 minutes, will know the answer to that question.
Hang in there, listener.
Okay, so. Part of this was laziness, and part of it was just sort of like, you know, hockey, basketball, NFL. I had a couple other ideas for some themes, for some stuff going on in the world, but this just seemed the right fit, especially since we just done hockey and basketball, right? So just going to do a couple here that are good, and some of these are awesome, and some of these are stupid.
Let me ask you a question before you jump into it. Are you going to do one for soccer next?
No, only sticking to sports.
That was a softball for you. You'd probably do softball before you did soccer, right?
Yes, I would probably do softball before I did soccer.
Okay, on to the NFL player names.
Okay. All right, so Eric Dickerson, Corey Dickerson, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the great running backs in NFL history, Eric Dickerson. Not a very good commentator, but when are they ever? Emmett Smith, Joe Smith.
You could have probably picked a few on that one.
There's a lot of Smiths. There's Will Smith, but not Will Smith that's the Will Smith, the actor. And then I think there's another Will Smith that's a catcher.
There's probably
you know what I have to say to that, John? Oh, hell no.
Okay, moving along.
All right, Lawrence Taylor, Taylor Motter.
Okay.
Shortstop / left fielder for the Mariners, helping keep the team afloat.
Outstanding job so far.
Though Taylor Motter does sound something like someone who would be on The Hills.
Yes. And the hair, with the hair, too.
Yeah. All right. This is the worst one. Jim Brown, Jim Johnson. I just felt it was important because it's Jim Brown. He's like the greatest running back ever. But there are no Brown. I don't want to say there's no Browns in baseball, but because there's lots of Browns in baseball. But no one with the last name Brown.
There's nobody?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah, not currently, yeah.
That's bizarre.
I think the last one of any prominence is Kevin Brown, who mm-hmm. was white. So yes. I don't even know what's going on. But Jim Johnson's white. Anyway. Next one, Joe Montana, Jose Quintana.
Okay.
Jose is Joe in Spanish.
Right? No, that was the best one yet.
Okay, good. Okay. Peyton Manning, and Manning Machado.
I like the ones that are a stretch because they're always fun.
You might like this one, Jerry Rice. Or what about David P. Rice? P.
Rice. Okay.
From the Red Sox.
Yeah. Is that that name could stick. You could start calling him P. Rice.
P. Rice?
Yeah.
That feels weird. That feels weird. It might just like Price or like Pricey or like, hey, DP. Oh, no, not DP. Never mind. Okay. Next one. And this is just, in tribute, Tom Brady. There's no Brady. There's a couple of Toms. But I'm going to put down Tom Brady, Babe Ruth. Greatest of all time baseball player, greatest of all time football player.
I can go with that one.
Last but not least, Albert Pujols and Dick Butkus.
That was worth waiting for.
Those are my two favorite baseball and football names. I love that Dick Butkus was considered one of the most
feared.
Feared.
I think his name violent. Had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. I think his name had the opposite of anything to do with it.
No, I just think growing up, he was picked on a bit and probably wound up.
Oh, like his own nuclear engine? Yeah.
Right, right.
For sure.
That's great. Pujols and Butkus. Can you Butkus the Pujols?
Look, you can do whatever you want. This is America.
And what's his name's going to find that out, right?
That's
Luis,
right.
Luis Robert will find out. You can
butt kiss a Pujols whenever you want.
Welcome.
Well, okay, not whenever you want.
Consenting.
But please look it up when the rules are for when that can happen.
Right. It has to be consenting.
It has to be consenting. There are certain places it's not appropriate. Thanks for listening, Luis. What's next?
Okay, that's the end of the starting nine. Now we're into our this is our third week now, and are you buying it? Third week?
Second week.
Second week. Second week of Are You Buying It? So why don't you set up the whole Are You Buying It? Because you did such a great job last week.
Okay, good. So over the years we've been doing this, I know it technically it's only been one calendar year, but it has was Seems over like 2 years. So it's over the years we've been doing the show. I've tried to do, we started off with three up, three down, but I didn't like saying the next player that is up or the next player that is down. It just sounds weird. Then we tried hot or not, and that just didn't really work because it was just sort of like hot or not. Yes, he's hot. No, he's not hot. And it was sort of self-explanatory, like, oh, well, this person hit four home runs. Guess what?
You look at the stats and you're like, that's a no-brainer.
Right. So now we're looking at like who's hot and who's not, but we're saying, are you buying it?
Yeah, is it sustainable?
Or am I buying it? John is saying the player, and I'm saying whether or not I'm buying it.
Correct.
Or if I'm going to rent it or I'm going to sell it, lease to own.
Sublet it.
Co-op.
Right.
Any timeshare, whatever. Let's do it.
Couch surf. Let's start off with Ryan Zimmerman. Off to a blazing hot start.
Yes. Home runs batted in, slugging percentage, all the good things for Ryan Zimmerman, all the things that I think everyone kind of hoped from him over the years that like, oh yeah, look, he could really look at this lineup that he's in, but he's just had so many injuries. So what I'm saying is I'm buying it until he's injured and then I'm stuck with it. Cause ain't nobody buying it then.
Yeah. I don't think this is sustainable what he's doing right now.
Well, what he's doing right now is, I mean, that's, it's like, you know, obviously it's not, it's beyond what a normal, you know,
but with
a normal great player would be able to do.
But he being in this mode of productivity right now makes that lineup that much better.
Yeah, and that lineup is sort of like it feeds itself. It has there's people on base, and then people are going to get hits, and then like I think right now four of the top 15 batters in the league are on the Nationals.
Yeah, and he's not when you're looking statistically, he's like the third most productive player on the team, and he's one of the hottest in the league. So,
but if he can stay healthy, which he should be able to a little bit more at first base than third, though he was at first base last year, but he was hitting the ball really hard last year. Those metrics made his actual stats look confusing because it looked like he wasn't doing well. but he was hitting the ball hard. And really, unless you're like, who's Billy Hamilton, right? The speedster for the Reds. Mm-hmm. Unless you're him, like, that's all you want to do. That's, if you can do one thing as a batter, you want to hit the ball hard. Obviously, you want to hit it in the air also, so there's home runs. But Zimmerman was hitting the ball hard last year with no good results. This year, he's hitting it hard again, but with the good results. And I think he can keep it going.
Well, let's see.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do a revisit
segment
down the road.
Too much work.
See,
I'll tell you right now, too much work.
What was too much work?
Too much work. I mean, honestly, I don't even remember what I just said about Ryan Zimmerman right now.
Well, let's move on to a. I think this might be an obvious response from you, but I'll throw it out there. Devin Travis is having the opposite start that Ryan Zimmerman is having.
Yes, he's having the opposite start, and it's interesting too because he also has an injury history. But here's the thing. I think he's injured now, so I'm this bad performance. I think that's where he's at. I think that's him this year. I don't think he's secretly got some, you know, breakout offensive season in that bat. I think he's injured and he's pretending not to be. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. Harper did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
And players do that. They try to play through because it's not that much that painful, but you know, it's just a little grab in the shoulder or in the knee,
right?
And it takes away some of the power. He's not driving the ball. He's not the offensive weapon. He was marginal defensive player. The only reason why they haven't benched him is because they don't have anyone that can take his place.
And I think he's got the highest batting average on the team, doesn't he? They're not doing too well. I think he's hitting 176 or something like that. And yeah. But he's up there. He's among the contenders for their woeful offense so far.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to be like, I think next season he's going to be a guy that fantasy league guys will want to target. Because he does have that potent bat, and he just needs to get healthy, and I don't think he's healthy.
Let's see how that one plays out, but we won't revisit it. Yeah. Moving on to a pitcher, Mike Leake, off to a hot start.
Very hot start, and I'm half buying. I'm renting, because this is Mike Leake, and Mike Leake has runs like this. He'll do like five games. He did this with the Reds. He didn't really do it. He had a bad season last year for the Cardinals, right? But he does have good starts. So the problem with him is he doesn't really strike out enough guys to be like, oh, wow, yeah, he can do this all year. But he does get in these runs where he just, by some way, just is able to get outs and weak contact. And, you know, I think he's gone, what, four starts now? And he's
Well, I'm hoping he continues that trend for a little bit longer. I picked him up this weekend on my fantasy team, so.
Yeah, so
milk a little bit out of him, see how long it lasts.
Exactly, and you just see how long it lasts. And then if he's going into Colorado, you bench him. If he's going up against, you know, a monster offense, you bench him. Like maybe if he goes up against the Brewers, maybe he played the Brewers already though, right? I don't know. Sure. Anyway, I'm thinking the Reds because he's on the Cardinals. But I would say that he's definitely worth renting, and you just ride him until he's. You know, because he never, but those words came out of my mouth.
Yeah, so he's not a power pitcher by any means. So.
Yeah, but he's also not a guy who's like going to get exploded.
No, he's going to, you know, he'll have three or four run bad outings, stuff like that. He's never been, I mean,
kind of like Porcello,
right.
for the Red Sox. And but maybe Porcello gets a little bit more strikeouts than Leake, but he's definitely a player that's worth having and,
well, right, I'm hoping that he has a Porcello-like year, so that would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked a little bit about the next player up until last night. He was on quite a run, Mitch Haniger with the Mariners.
Yeah.
Doing it all.
So Mitch Haniger is having a great season, home runs, great defense, speed on the bases, on-base percentage, looking great for the Mariners, traded by the Diamondbacks. With who did they get? Who did they give up? Oh, it was Taiwan Walker. That seems like the Mariners got the better end of that because they got
Segura and Haniger. Yeah,
Segura, and then Haniger was sort of like the quote unquote throw in.
Yeah,
but I remember Dave Cameron from Fangraphs was like, no, Haniger's the guy,
and that's
Haniger's the guy,
proven to be true.
Yeah, yeah, I targeted him in a couple of fantasy leagues, not the one that you and I are in because that roster of mine was already so screwed up, but I just didn't need an outfielder. But I have him in a couple other leagues, and he's just a delight.
Yeah.
Just great. Putting up all the numbers, and, you know, for the Mariners, what a nice treat to have a player that can play offense and defense. Mm-hmm. It was just this week they cut Leonis Martin, right?
That was crazy.
Like, cut him. Yeah. The starting center fielder who was hitting whatever, a buck.
Yeah, he was not producing at all. Zero, yeah. Nothing, no production. And they have, you know, they have Mater and Haniger who are doing well, and now they're like, okay, what are we going to do with Mater? Because Segura's back. We need that bat in the lineup. We can't take that bat away. So he's probably going to get some spot starts in the infield, but they're going to, with Martin gone and Haniger out now, that means Mater will most likely wind up playing in the outfield. He's a super utility player.
Yeah.
Which is a good, you know, that's a good thing because they gain Segura back, who's got, you know, speed and contact hitter, gets on base. Well, power too, as of last year. So that they might not lose a ton as a result of that loss, but I think that all depends on what Segura does now that he's back. But we'll see. But it's he's been a delight to watch, and
He's
the talk of, I mean, he had a 12-13. He broke up the no-hitter with the Marlins to extend his hitting streak to 12 games. So up, I know it went at least 13 games before it. I think I lost track. I don't know where he's at with that now. But he's just been reliable, infield, outfield, makes some great catches in the outfield as well. Speed helps. That's definitely been a big plus for them.
Yeah, I'm buying.
So buying on Haniger, are you buying on the early progress and start for Dylan Bundy?
Absolutely. Have you seen that slider?
It's devastating.
That's a crazy slider. This is a guy who, I mean, a year ago, people were like, first of all, a year and a half ago, he was considered, top 15 prospect, mm-hmm. top 20 for the Orioles. And then he just sort of seemed to lose it. And you know who did that years ago was Bumgarner. I don't know if you remember that, but he was in the minor leagues, and all of a sudden he lost a bunch of velocity and was, they were like, oh, crap, we wasted a first-round pick on this guy. And then he sort of found most of the velocity back and became a better pitcher and then became Madison Bumgarner, who then went on to win 3 World Series and then get in a dirt biking accident. However, Bundy, a year ago, that people were writing him off because his stuff was so pedestrian.
And he was in the bullpen last year, right?
Yeah, and then he was in the bullpen, and it kind of clicked for him a little. And then he did a couple of starts, and this new slider or this improved slider that he has was messing everybody up, and it's carried forward to this year. I'm definitely buying. I wish as a fantasy baseball guy, I wish I had more. What do they call it? Exposure to him. I've heard the fantasy baseball guys refer to it as that. It's exposure. Like, okay, let's come up with a less creepy word, fantasy baseball guys.
That's one of those things, though, too, where you kind of get sucked in by the prospect being highly rated, and you want him to do well. You draft him in some of the legacy leagues and think that he's going to, you know, turn into the star. And it's a matter of, like, do I hold on to him for 4 or 5 years to see if he's going to really progress? And he's been one of those players that's been slow to develop. You know, there's plenty of them. Not all of them hit the ground running.
It's not a linear thing, right? It's not like, oh, look, he's good at Double A. Oh, good. He's good at Triple A. Oh, good. He's good in the majors.
Part of that, too, is that, you know, fans who are casual fans don't realize that, you know, like the Pacific Coast League is a hitter's league. The balls fly out of the parks there. So if a pitcher goes from an ERA of 2.7 in Double A to 3.7 in the Pacific Coast League, he's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
And you have to keep an eye on
him. I think I read the Mets are in the PCL, their AAA team, and I read somewhere that like Syndergaard didn't throw a slider in that league or a curveball just because it was like there was no point. Mm-hmm. Just throw it hard and hope you don't give up a home run. It's a weird league because a lot of home runs, a lot of run scoring.
Yeah, offensive league for sure.
Yeah.
Final candidate for are you buying it this week is the Shark Jeff Samardzija.
No, I'm not buying it.
Not buying it.
Look, I'm not buying him, but I am buying the bad performance. I am believing the bad performance. I think he had one good season, and it wasn't really that good.
That was with Notre Dame in football, right?
No, he had one good season with the A's, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? Or was it the
Cubs?
the Cubs.
A's,
so he had a good
combination,
season.
Maybe been one of the year he was traded. I don't. Yeah, he's never been the. It's hard thrower, and I think everybody has been in love with the potential more than the results.
Yeah.
And how long do you let that play out? Because he's been around for several years, eight years.
Yeah, and obviously this is part of the Giants' problem that they have now, is that they put a lot of money into this guy. They put a lot of money into Cueto, right? And Cueto's going to be a free agent at the end of the year because his five-year contract or whatever had a buyout. Or
well, now that's the talk with the Giants, is they have an old team now.
Yeah.
And are they going to, and it's all going to really hinge on Bumgarner to a certain extent, is are they going, because Cueto's gone. And if that's the case, they would be smart to kind of look at ways to flip people and start rebuilding.
Yeah.
They got some good young players coming up. Christian Arroyo started, got his first base hit, I think was last night or the night before. So there's a lot of pressure for him to come up. He comes up and delivers in his first game up. So, it can be interesting to see what happens with the Giants, but Smarja's start is just really bad. I mean, 24 innings, 28 hits, 20 earned runs, 9 walks, but 30 strikeouts. Yeah.
So he's going to have to figure out a way to do some pitching.
Right.
Stop trying to strike everybody out or stay out of the zone
throw
a little
BP.
Bit.
He's a BP pitcher right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wraps up our Are You Buying It? Now that takes us into the final segment and our listeners' favorite. Extra innings.
Yes.
It's what all listeners hang in for, the very end of the show, and where we take a look at things that are happening outside of the world of baseball.
Yeah.
So this I hadn't heard about, but you have it on topics here this week, is ESPN is laying people off.
Yes.
That's big news.
Well, the ratings have been down, and you know, a lot of people have been doing cable cutting, right? They've been dropping their cable to sort of go to streaming services and cheaper, whatever.
Right.
I don't want to say services, but cheaper ways to.
Yeah, it's like I don't watch ESPN, but I have to pay for it. So let me just get what I want and buy the streaming side.
Exactly. So and ESPN has been. I mean, the biggest problem was they bought viewership rights or whatever. I'm losing all my words here. Whatever the broadcast rights to a lot of things, sort of at their peak price.
Mm-hmm.
And just as everything is starting to decline in those areas, they're stuck with those peak price things. So they're getting rid of, and it's not just like 100 gaffers or 100 electricians or whatever. This is like on-air talent that they're cutting loose to save their money.
But, and I used to look forward to watching ESPN nightly back in the 90s and in 2000s.
Oh, yeah. Early 2000s?
It's awesome. I mean, the talent that they had that have now turned out to be amazing in their own rights was phenomenal. And now I turn it on. I'm like, who are these yo-yos? They're trying to be funny. They're trying to stamp their personalities. Like when ESPN had like a stable of like half a dozen really good broadcasters who owned it and were so good. And now you have this, they have what, maybe 30, 40 different on-air talent now that are cycling through the day and night and different formats for different shows. And I just, my head spins sometimes when I see the people that are on there. I have no idea who they are. And they're trying way too hard.
There seems to be sort of like a corporate, and not to get political, but sort of like a left push, and sort of a social justice warrior thing. I think that this is a bad time to try to pull that move, because I think that most people that like most sports just don't want to hear about that stuff, regardless of whether they agree with it. They just don't want to hear about it. That's why they're watching sports. So they don't have to worry about seeing 20 minutes of coverage of Colin Kaepernick. We don't really care. If we want to hear about Colin Kaepernick, we'll go somewhere else and find it. But when I go to SportsCenter, I just want to watch sports.
Same here. I don't want to watch 15 different shows with people that are trying to be funny that I scratch my head. I'm like, why is this a show?
Right.
Why are these clowns on this show?
And they're trying to be funny, and they're trying to be controversial, and it's just like, just talk about sports.
Right.
That's all we need.
And I think that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, the old programming, I loved
success.
It. Yeah.
The irony, of course, is that this is the place that was one of the main perpetrators of the Deflategate nonsense and the spreading of all that misinformation, including Chris Mortensen, who refused to even contradict any of his early reporting for such a long time when it was proven false. So then it just becomes like, oh, you're just doing this because it's your position. It's an editorial. And I don't want editorial. I just want sports. And I don't want to hear about your hot take on this thing. I just want to talk about sports. Because if you're going to start talking like that, I'm just going to turn it off and watch something else.
Yeah, and one of the shows that was one of their earlier shows, which has been a success, that when they first went to the PTI part in the interruption, I didn't like that. I still don't like that show. It's like, who are you guys? You're sports writers. Who are you to be telling me what I should and shouldn't like or what's important and what isn't? Just report the sports.
Yeah.
Let me that consume said, it as a fan.
Please pay attention to what we say you should and shouldn't like.
Yes. Yeah, because we are authorities. We're old school.
Yeah. We're just trying to be funny and be entertaining.
Yeah,
and
I guess we do take on a little bit of that.
No, but we're an entertainment show, and people are tuning in, listening, tuning in. Okay, Chet. People are listening because they want to be entertained about baseball, and so that's what we're doing. But if you go, people want to go to SportsCenter, go to ESPN, but just for sports. They don't want to get all the editorial, and I think the more editorial you put in, the more you make people not want to watch your station. Just like, well, okay, I'll just watch ESPN News or something.
Or Entertainment Network.
Right, or I'll just go online and see what clips are available.
It'll be a lot easier to do it that way. But their icon event, their main event that kind of built ESPN to a certain extent, is the NFL Draft, and that's coming up this week as
well. I thought you were going to say the ESPYs, and then I was like, John, what are you talking about?
No, they earned their stripes by being the first sport that covered, you know, from start to finish the draft. And they've been doing this for 30 years, I think, covering the draft live. It's been maybe even longer. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be one of those guys that says doesn't really care, but I love it.
Every year, it's fun.
I love it. Even like this year, the Patriots don't have a first-round pick. And, of course, last year they didn't have a first-round pick because it was stolen by the commissioner.
Yeah, anyway. That didn't really work out for the commissioner, did it?
It didn't turn out to be very harmful to the team's progress, right?
And Brady and love that handshake.
Fantastic. So this year they traded away their first-round pick for one of the Saints wide receivers whose name escapes me. But they don't have a pick, but I'm still going to check in and see who's getting what, who's picking who, where, who made a mistake. I want to find out who made mistakes.
Yeah, one of fun things is that, you know, you have the experts, what's his name? Kiper.
Mel Kiper.
And then the other, his adversary there, Todd McShay. So they kind of go at each other and contradict each other and attack each other, which it makes for good television.
Yeah.
But then you have one of their either or drops 30 spots from where they anticipated them. And that becomes what happened. And the drama with that, along with the fans in attendance reaction, usually negatively. Usually, Giants and Jets fans are scratching their head, is like, who did we just draft? What's going on? Occasionally, they go crazy. I think they went crazy for Mark Sanchez. That didn't work out too good.
No.
But that's
it's a whole fun process. You know, it's fun to see. I mean, it's bad to see players drop from expectations, I guess. But then it's like, well,
what's the story?
What's the story? Was it, you know, I remember the year Aaron Rodgers.
He dropped quite a bit.
Yeah. He dropped quite a bit. And I remember thinking he would be a top 10 quarterback because he looked great in college. And he just kept dropping just because it was not quite the right fit. And then he wound up with the Packers. And I was just like, well, geez, man. Well, now the Packers are going to be set at quarterback. And, you know, obviously there's, I think he got picked 18th. So there's 17 other teams who are like, well, we should have picked Aaron Rodgers. But it's always fascinating because then you always wonder, or I always wonder, like, well, okay, so because he dropped to 18, does that give him more motivation? If he had been picked third and gotten all the money, because the person who gets picked third gets exponentially more than the guy who gets picked 18th. So is he going to be that much better? Is he going to have the chip on his shoulder? Is that going to be what? Because it's all these, you know, tiny little increments that make a great player and a.
I believe in that. Yeah, I believe in the chip on the shoulder in all sports where people like you've underestimated me. And there are plenty of players who were, you know, they're not top or first round picks, but get, you know, thinking they're going to go in second, third round and don't get picked at all and wind up signing a free agent contract. And then they become a superstar. And there are stories out there in every sport where somebody was just missed. And their attitude is like, you know, I knew that I was going to be, you know, quality player in this league and just needed the chance. And those are always great stories. Speaking of great stories.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch now officially, I think it was as of today.
Yeah.
The Seahawks and the Raiders figured out the details for the rights being the Raiders. And it looks like Marshawn will be playing next year for the Raiders.
He's coming back into the league.
That's a perfect fit.
The Seahawks retained his rights, I guess, by contract or whatever, and he's being traded to the Las Vegas Raiders. Soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. I'm just going to call him the Las Vegas Raiders. Sorry,
Oakland. I think he's made it clear, though, and I think they're scheduled to play there in 2020, and they don't know where they're going to play in 2019, but I guess that'll be figured out before then. But they got two more years in Oakland this season and next season, and he basically has said, I'm not going to Vegas. I'll play out 2 years in Oakland. It's my hometown. It's going to be interesting to see what he looks like coming back. Maybe he'll be rejuvenated after a couple of years of basically lost year 2 years ago with, I think he missed half the season with injuries.
Yeah.
And then
interestingly, that's his hometown. Interesting that Adrian Peterson signed with the Saints for $3 million, like some tiny amount of money. And so he signed with the Saints. So he's obviously not trying to chase a ring, but that's his hometown, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Or he's from the South anyway. I think maybe he's from
Louisiana.
Texas.
Yeah.
Louisiana, Texas area.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, look at these guys going.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a head scratcher to me, to be honest with you. And it's amazing too that, you know, once a running back gets beyond age 27, 28, they're kind of like, yeah, we'll go with the younger guys. It's like their productivity drops off tremendously after that age. And really that position has become such a tough position to value because of the inability of the players to stay in that position for long.
Agreed.
So Marshawn to the Raiders. We'll see how that all plays out. The Raiders didn't do much in the free agent market. It'll be interesting to see how they draft. I'm a Raiders fan, full disclosure. So I'll be tuning in to watch the draft, see how they do. Okay, moving on. Probably your favorite story that we're finally getting to is, and I know nothing about it because I don't follow any of this, is Caitlyn Jenner has released or will be releasing a new tell-all book. Tell us all about it.
Okay, so this is the weekly Kardashian-related update. If there's one thing that I know as much about baseball, it's the Kardashians. Of course, most of us know a lot about the Kardashians. It all starts with the video.
For you?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I'd never heard of... I mean, obviously I knew who Bruce Jenner was.
He went to my high school.
Oh, yeah?
For whatever reason.
Just visiting, or did he actually attend?
No, he attended, I think, one year. And I remember after the Olympics, he came back, and there was a dedication, and they named it Bruce Jenner Field, the football field. And it's not named Bruce Jenner Field anymore.
What did they convert it to?
It's now a beauty salon.
Oh, fantastic.
No, it's still there, but I don't know why you would strip the name. And it happened long before the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing. But at some point they decided, Bruce Jenner's not relevant anymore. We're not going to call it Bruce Jenner Field anymore.
I like it. You know what they should just do is just every year change it to something topical.
That sounds like a good idea. It's a good PR. You get a crowd show up for that game. So tell us about the book.
Okay, so that's the appropriate pronoun. She has a new book. It's a tell-all book, but look, first of all, there's been some like Kardashians are like, well, we're not happy with, and it's like, yeah, you are. If there's anything in there that it speaks bad, you guys love it. They're like, this is the epitome of any good PR is.
Yeah, they're 15.
Any PR is good PR.
15 minutes of fame has turned into a gold mine.
A billion-dollar fortune annually. And, you know, like, I saw some quote about it where she was saying, Caitlyn was saying that now she has no more secrets. And I'm going to tell you something right now, John. If there's one thing I know in this world is that Caitlyn Jenner has got a ton of secrets that are not in the book. Now, I don't know whether she addresses the fact that she killed a person before she got her ESPY or whatever. I'm not going to read this book because I feel like I don't need to be told all.
You're going
to
read it.
I'm not going to read. First of all, I'm not going to read any book ever. So period. Full stop. Second of all, I'm not going to read Caitlyn Jenner's tell-all book because I feel like what happens with these books is the person has a half interesting story and it's only half interesting. And then they start exaggerating and then they start, and then it's like, and I remember when I was three. And like suddenly the person remembers something from when they were three. There was a whole thing. Did you see this thing, Chelsea Clinton? Again, not political, just literary, where she was talking about how when I was four, I wrote a letter to Ronald Reagan. Like, yeah, sure. First of all, you don't remember that. Second of all, your parents made you write it at the time.
Or because probably
that's how
wrote
parents
it.
Are. Right? They probably did. She probably Bill sat down and wrote it left-handed. Or no, he is left-handed, right? Right-handed. Right. So it looked kind of like a child writing it. Mm-hmm. And then it was about how she didn't think that Ronald Reagan should attend a cemetery in Germany that had Nazis buried in it for some ceremony. And obviously Reagan wasn't going there to celebrate the Nazis there, but it was sort of a memorial service for people who had died in Germany and so forth. And so I'm like, some 4-year-old kid even knows what any of that means. Like, even understands the concept of what a president is.
Right.
Give me a break. But this is
especially back then.
Exactly. This is told as a story. And this, you hear these all the time now on social media. Like, how do I explain Donald Trump to my 7-year-old? Like, you don't. You don't even explain to what a president is. They're 7. Let them go outside and burn G.I. Joe figures or play video games or kick a soccer ball or something more productive like sports.
Right.
Boom. Little dig there for the soccer guys. Anyway, I'm sure it's a terrible book, and I'd be really surprised if anyone's even really that interested. I wouldn't be surprised if the first week it sells, but my guess is no one really cares about her anymore. I know she recently says she got the full procedure, the downstairs area, Caitlyn Jenner.
Full Monty removed?
The empty Monty? Is that what that is? But then, like, okay, now what? No one cares. You're not an interesting person. She goes on some cable news show, and she's talking about how, you know, trans women don't have a competitive advantage in sports against other women. Like, okay, thanks, bye. Thanks for the science lesson.
Right. Wow. I have to be honest. I don't think I've ever seen a Caitlyn Jenner on TV.
Well, that's what I'm here for, John.
So I'm glad you're filling me in on all things Caitlyn Jenner. I think that tell-all book will not tell much to you. You'll probably read a couple headlines, right? Just to see what the reviews are.
Honestly, I'll be surprised if anyone even remembers it a week from now, John.
When is it coming out?
It's out.
Oh, it's out. Well,
it's come out, yeah.
I missed out on that.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't think anyone cares anymore. It's like, she's trans. Okay, great.
Trans.
This isn't like 15 years ago.
Right.
If this had happened 15 years ago, people would be losing their minds.
Right.
Over this.
And you would read it then, right?
No. I have a no books policy, John.
No books? You're a highly educated person for no books. How'd you get through school?
I do read some books.
Okay.
Just not that trash.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll read a book between now and next week.
Maybe. Not that one.